Hey, listeners, did you know that Yogi Triathlete offers endurance coaching for body and mind? We offer personalized training plans for endurance sports, wellness and mindset, nutrition and recovery guidance, and race preparation and strategy, all within the supportive community of Team Yogi Triathlete. So if you're ready to conquer your fitness goals and push your limits, our endurance coaches are ready to guide you on the journey to peak performance. Go to yogitriathlete.com today to set up your free 30-minute discovery call and embrace a future of strength, stamina, and achievement. Your goals, our experience, the perfect match for unstoppable success.
We're connecting ourselves back to the earth. Like, this is how we lived thousands of years ago. We would go into our little period hut with our friends, hang out there for days.
Red tent.
Yep, in the red tent, take our herbs, talk about our feelings, womanly wisdom, all that.
I love it. The red tent. Let's bring back the red tent. Welcome to the Yogi Triathlete Podcast. I'm Jess, mindset and wellness coach for Yogi Triathlete, and I'm joined by Melissa, herbalist, triathlon, and running coach for Team Yogi Triathlete, and this is part three of our Women's Wellness Series. I want to start off by thanking all the women who have reached out to us to let us know that the information's been helpful. Many of you have reported sharing this with your friends, your sisters, and your moms, so thank you so much. Our inspiration was to serve and to spread the good word about what remains a mystery on a mass level. Many of us have lived decades navigating hormonal imbalances, cramps, cycles, and symptoms without a community. So thank you for letting us know that there is a community right here who's connecting with these podcasts. Now, if you've missed part one or two, go to the show notes for this episode at yogitriathlete.com and you can click through there or simply search for episode 402 and 406 on all places you listen. In our last episode, Melissa took us on an in-depth tour of the feminine cycle, and several men, including my husband, found it to be very helpful. So today, based on feedback and some questions that we have, which are all like overlapping, we're going to dive in a bit more on the cycle, but we're going to do it from an Ayurvedic standpoint, talking about the Pitta, Kapha, and Vata doshas. And we're also going to talk about support throughout the decades of our lives for our daughters, mothers, sisters, and friends. We're going to start all the way back into our teenage years. So that said, Melissa, welcome back to this series. This is our third and final one for now, unless the audience wants more, and you guys will have to let us know about that. How you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to be back. I've gotten a lot of feedback from the last two, just that this is information that women need to know. And I would say a vast majority of us are unaware of the ebbs and flows of our body and how to kind of move through everything a little more gracefully. And yeah, just excited to be sharing for sure.
Yeah. One of the pieces of feedback or questions that we had was specifically for me about, you know, what do I wish I knew? And I'm looking back now with so much gratitude because I knew a lot. Maybe not even in the intellectual piece of it, but I knew that I was dedicated to a life of self-care and wellness and health. And I'm really grateful for all the practices that I put into effect. But I think if there's one thing that I look back on, I just looked back on, you know, not seeing this entire cycle because, you know, I didn't have the wherewithal or really the desire to kind of research it and find out more about it, and just looked at, you know, my monthly cycle as just kind of an inconvenience, something that I would just pop a bunch of ibuprofen and push through. So that would be one thing that, like, looking back, would I change it? No, because, you know, she got me here, and without, you know, traversing everything that I have traversed, I wouldn't be here in this position, right? So I live really, truly without regret. But if I was to go back and tell her one thing, it would be like, just relax a little bit, educate yourself about this incredible process that your body goes through constantly, you know, constantly, and that it's not an inconvenience and it's something to embrace. And so, yeah, that would be one thing that I would do, is just embrace this. Like, you're never too young to embrace this and prepare yourself for your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, right? I always knew, even 20 years ago when I started triathlon, like I always knew I wanted to be that woman on the course, healthy and fit, you know, in her later years. So I always had this eye on longevity, but I think like everything, we can always be better at it.
Totally. And just relating back to that, I think to be that person on the course, super healthy and vital, it takes being the woman that honors your cycle, doesn't push through, cover it up with ibuprofen, but instead sees where they're at and addresses everything ayurvedically, herbally, balancing the nervous system. There's just so much that we can do now to not hit menopause early, and when we do hit it, not hit it so hard. Kind of like I said, do it more in an easeful way.
Yeah, and I don't know if I talked about this on a previous one, but one of the things that, you know, my Ayurvedic practitioner shared with me when I first went in to work with her on this, really this quest to age gracefully, is that, you know, the way that women experience menopause in the US is like nowhere else, to the point where they consider the degree at which we suffer over here, you know, to be the disease of the West. And I think that we can change that. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you have daughters, if you're listening to this and you're in your 20s, if you're listening to this and you have older sisters or mothers, you know, that you can talk to about this stuff, encourage them to, whatever your age is, it's never too late to embrace it and ease through your life with more grace. It's never, ever, ever too late, ever. And it's never too early either. All right, before we jump in, and this could be wellness related, training related, whatever, what are you like jazzed about right now?
I'm jazzed. It's been feeling like spring over here outside Philly. The past week it's been in the 70s, and I'm just so excited to get my garden going. Like, I am kind of starting everything from seed this year, which I haven't always done in the past, because it's hard to start stuff from seed. Like, sometimes it doesn't grow all the way, or sometimes you get half of the sproutings that you expect, but I'm kind of embracing it in a new way this year where no expectations. Like, if something thrives and sprouts quickly, like, awesome. But if it doesn't, then I learn what to do for the next time. It's all part of the process. Yeah.
Do you have like little friends that come into your garden and have snacks?
So many of them.
Half of what we're growing right now is just food for other beings. This is what we've realized. Like, we're growing all this romaine, and there's like no romaine. It's just somebody's going in there at night and they're just having snacks, whether it's bunnies or rats. I don't know what it is, but in a way I just am like, all right, feeding the cycle, you know, feeding the cycle. I'm okay with it.
I've totally felt the same. Quick story. I'll make it real quick. I had a groundhog last year and he was eating everything. So I had to replant all my stuff. I came back from the herbal apothecary, had all my herbs on this like super high table in the middle of my deck. So there was no way that he could get to them. I'm using finger quotes. I came back in the morning and everything I had purchased, like dropped like $100 on plants, was down to the stalk on top of the table in the middle of my deck. So I don't know what this animal did, but I had never laughed so hard because I was just trying to control wildlife. Like, you can't always do that. And it was just such a like comical slap in the face when that happened. I was like, all right, you're here. I guess I have to live with you somehow. I don't know how, but we're going to make it work.
I love it. I know. I always just imagine like who's in there having a little snack. They're so cute. All right, I'm going to share one thing that I'm jazzed about. And this came out of our women's wellness retreat that we did last month in Temecula, California. Is every night we were making this nighttime elixir, this warm ashwagandha milk. So we had organic ashwagandha powder. So we do like half a teaspoon of that, quarter teaspoon of turmeric, a little bit of black pepper, quarter teaspoon of coconut sugar, and a little bit of ground ginger. And then we warmed oat milk and then we frothed it.
That sounds so good.
It's so nourishing and nurturing. And, you know, like after your dinner, before you go to bed and just sip on this like warm milk. And oats are such a benevolent grain. You know, we put them on our skin to soothe and ease. They're cooling. Of course, the turmeric and the black pepper, but it's a delicious recipe. And I'm happy to share it in the show notes for this show. And then the brands and stuff that I use as well, which you can get pretty much anywhere, of course. Okay, so that's what I'm just about right now is my ashwagandha milk. It's like the new cocktail. It's so delicious.
I love that. I love oats too. We can dive into oats later, but They're so good for a pitta imbalance because of how cooling they are.
Mm-hmm. They are, and they're loving, and the fire needs love.
Yes, it does.
The fire needs sweetness. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. All right. I think let's start with, we have a lot that we want to cover in this. And I think both of us are feeling a little like fluttery in the belly because we're pitta and we want it to be perfect and amazing for everybody who's listening. So we're going to relax that pressure and we're going to do the best we can. I thought we would jump in with just the phases of life. This is something that one of our listeners, Abby, had asked about. It's just like, could you go through kind of like the decades? And so doing that from an Ayurvedic perspective, and we'll take it all the way back to teenagers, like being a teenager. And in Ayurveda, the teenage years, so our kapha years are early on. Those are our nurturing years. That's where we really need to be cared for. But once we hit like teenager, now we're in the pitta dominant phase, and that goes through our 30s. So we want to start that in our teens. I did not start any kind of pitta pacifying in my teens at all. But as women who are listening to this that have, you know, daughters, this perhaps could be helpful. And I didn't want to leave the teens out, but it's really, this is the time in life where you want to lay that foundation for health. And so it's dominated by pitta. And I'll say that we always want to keep in respect and be mindful about what the underlying dosha is, right? So like what the primary constitution is of that woman. And you can easily find that out by taking a dosha quiz. And as I explained in the first episode, we have the prakriti, which is our primary constitution. And then we have the vikriti, which is like, what's the current situation? And you know this from herbalism, right? Like it's, everything is always changing. And so you'll be changing, I'm sure you're changing remedies and doses for people as life happens, right? Or they're aging or stress, like whatever is going on in their life. So then I thought maybe you could kind of come in with maybe some ideas of herbs or lifestyle practices, whatever comes to mind, that can support these decades. So in our teams, it's really important to like follow a good routine, which is again, so hard because they're so young. But getting plenty of rest, but balancing that with staying active, right? We need that fire. You want to keep stoking the fire. Family time, super important to really cool that fire with that kapha, right? With that nurturing time. And then for parents who have kids that are going off to college, to nurture them with Ayurvedic care packages. So being that they're going to be under a lot of pressure, some things that are good there is like rose water spray, like a rose water hydrosol, which you can turn into, use an eye cup and you can do a daily wash with that. Herbal skincare products, so just really high quality, yummy lotions or oils, brain boosting herbs, which is what I wanted to talk to you about. And then, balancing teas, right? And there's so many great companies out there that kind of package the stuff that you can get at the grocery store. You could work with, you know, somebody like you or go to Banyan Botanicals. But any ideas on that for like brain boosting, stress relief for young people, teenage, college years?
Yeah, I'm actually working with someone right now who's in college and she is looking for brain boosting herbs, as you say. She actually has ADHD and wants to come off her medication. And I've been working with her to, one, tame her fire, and two, help her feel less frazzled, less mind fog, and more ability to concentrate. So simple stuff. I love mushrooms. One of them is lion's mane. And if you look at the way lion's mane looks, it looks like a cerebrum. So it's white, it has grooves, and it's very kind of like fluffy on the top and soft. So I think soft, cooling, easing the mind, really improving concentration. And then I'm also thinking about right now, for me, when I was a teenager, I needed herbally things that were easy to get in. So teas are definitely a great one. I know you probably can't get a teenage woman to start using tinctures because that would be like a drastic thing to start trying out. They're alcohol based, but chamomile tea, lavender tea, lemongrass, peppermint, anything that kind of gives you that bright spring feeling. And then another one I've been thinking about is oat straw. So like we had mentioned, oats are super cooling. But one thing you can do with oat straw in particular, you can take the plant and do a super long steep. So generally, I mean, we do teas for 5 or 10 minutes or so. When you're making an herbal infusion, you take the plant, put it with a pot of water for sometimes up to an hour or more. And that way you are pulling so much of those good phytochemicals out of the plant, like really making a bomb of minerals, vitamins, some of those minerals being magnesium, just all the vitamins that aren't always in our food, especially because soil can be so degraded right now. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to get in some good stuff mineral wise to then in turn balance the hormones too, because we can't make hormones without the right minerals.
Yeah. And it all trickles down from the top too. So moms and dads, you know, you need to be living the example of that wellness. And, you know, in a household like that, they'll be more apt to adopt this in college, and in high school and things like that. So we always want to live the example. And then that pitta phase moves, thank you for that. That was awesome. That pitta phase moves right into our 20s and 30s, which we really want to be looking at stress relief and rejuvenation, right? So we're moving into our independence. We're like, oh my God, I have to get insurance. I have to pay for my gas. Like, so it can be a lot of pressure, but we need the fire because we need the fire to have our independence to pave this path. But then that fire can also create burnout. You know, it can set a baseline for future dis-ease in the body and mind. And also this is a time where many women want to be nurturing and nourishing their hormones because perhaps they want to have children, or perhaps they don't want to have children, but they don't want to have a nightmare menopause phase in their life. So, you know, they can turn to herbs to nurture their reproductive tissues and also foods that nourish and boost fertility, which is like, you know, it's all the good stuff, right? It's the fresh organic produce. They always recommend like soaking your nuts or date milkshakes, which sounds so good to me. Like, and that, there you go with that sweetness again, right? Like a date milkshake with oat milk would be, and some cinnamon would be so delicious. And also not to forget during that phase to like have a little bit of play. And that doesn't mean like you're going to have your nightclub nights and you're going to have your party nights. You just, most people are in that phase. I most certainly did, but also play. So, you know, whatever that your company softball team or your Saturday pickleball, or I don't know, maybe that's for older generations. I don't know where the pickleball trend, where it's beginning or ending these days, but making sure that we remember that, you know, although it can feel so serious and there can feel like there's so much that you need to get done and achieve in those years, that, to have that play, it's okay. And that is really pacifying for that pitta. But as far as like herbs go, herbs for like nourishing fertility or hormonal imbalance or future hormone balance, what do you got there?
The rasayana herbs. So these herbs are Ayurvedically based, fall into that herbal adaptogen category of balancing our hormones, bringing our nervous system back to homeostasis. And I really feel like I can relate to this phase in particular because, yes, I'm in my 30s. I also am a very high pitta dosha. And I'm single. I feel like I'm single and holding it down. So there's a lot of like, sometimes serious in my life, a seriousness in my life to hold it all together. But it's so important. I have a friend that does somatic work of just like letting loose. And it's such a simple thing to just put on music while you're cooking, like let yourself move and feel and just have fun, as you're mentioning. But herbal wise, I would say holy basil is such an amazing herb to work with. It's in the mint family, and this is one that grows really easily. Like I have a pot of it that I plant every May, and I have it all summer. It's just a big pot right out my door, and it's super fragrant. Like you can take a stick of it. I shouldn't say a stick, like an arm of it, because it kind of like grows in an arm and then flowers sprout out on the sides. Kind of like a basil plant, very similar. Holy basil, basil, same family. But you can like take off some of the flowers and just even like rub them on your arm. And it's this explosion of fruity, fragrant, vibrant herbs. So I'll take those, I'll put them in a tea with chamomile and lemongrass, which I also have outside because it keeps the bugs out, but also tastes good, obviously. But yeah, put all that together in a tea, and it's super calming and stress relieving. So for me,
now do you dry it out? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Or are you literally pulling it off and putting it into a tea diffuser? And
I just walk outside with my French press, put it all down at the bottom and make it like I would a coffee. But I will say, I didn't do this last year, but this is something I want to get into. At the end of the season, you can take your herbs and hang them in your basement upside down, and they dry, and you can use them all year long. So if that's an option, it's a really good feeling to have access to that stuff in December.
Hmm. Oh, I love that. Okay. 40s and 50s, making the most of menopause, 40s and 50s. All of a sudden you're like, how did I get here? I remember going to my mom's 50th birthday party. I know that from experience. So now we're moving out of the pitta phase and we're moving into the vata phase, right? And so vata is connected energy and movement. It's air and ether, right? So it's like absence of water, absence of earth, absence of fire. Now that said, we have all of those elements within us all the time. So knowing what your primary dosha is incredibly important. I think if this type of natural medicine resonates with you, know that and test yourself every couple of months. And when you do that, you really begin to know, like, don't really have to test myself as much anymore. Cause like, you know, if I'm banging my shoulder on the corner of the doorway, it's like, okay, I am so ungrounded, you know, just things like that. You can notice in your behaviors how you're moving through the world. So here we're starting to move out of that pitta into the vata. So there's so much change. Oh my God, there's so much change. And you can have, primarily like a pitta type of menopause, which is irritability, hot flashes, night sweats. And if you're experiencing those things, you want to tame that pitta pacifying diet. So think about cooling foods, oatmeal, we talked about, cucumbers, like things that are very watery. Water to fire is going to help tame that fire. Avoiding spicy foods, salty foods, sour foods, which are all the things that the pittas love, right? Like nice, salty, oily potato chips, things like that. And I'm not saying that you can't have those, but just watch those things if, you know, hot flashes are high, irritability is high, and moving more towards those sweet tastes. Grains when we say sweet, I'm not talking about eating a bunch of chocolate cake. I'm talking about like foods that when they break down into the body, have that sweet, nourishing, pitta pacifying, effect. And then also, so we could talk about that, just like herbs for cooling, but, then we're also looking at like vata menopause, right? So dryness in the skin, vaginal dryness, memory loss, anxiety, right? Connected energy and movement. So you can kind of feel like you're all over the place and that can make you feel very anxious. I've kind of experienced both of these categories of symptoms. And there we want to be looking at like vata pacifying, diet. So more grounding foods. And I was just with, my practitioner the other night. I had a 90-minute Abhyanga Ayurvedic massage, and I was talking to her about, you know, like, okay, what else can I do? And she's just like, oil, everything oil, like oil. They want oil all over your skin. She's like, forget lotion, just oil, sesame oil in the winter, coconut oil in the summer, depending on what your dosha is. So it's, that oil massage is so soothing for the nervous system where vata tends to sit in that nervous system. So herbs for that heat, hot flashes, night sweats, all that delicious stuff that women are experiencing.
There's a lot you can work with herbally here. One thing I always have women that I work with take is black cohosh. So you can take black cohosh in two ways. One, orally, which will help subside some of that fiery energy and the night sweats, anger, frustration, all that comes with having low hormones. So similar to PMS, which we talked about in the last episode, our body as women is always trying to balance estrogen and progesterone. So in PMS, those two hormones, they plummet. The same exact thing happens during perimenopause and menopause. So black cohosh is actually a phytoestrogenic herb. So the whole idea is it's not replacing the estrogen that your body is not making at that point, but it is mimicking it. And it will bring back some of the balance that you're lacking. And such a better option than hormone replacement therapy. Our body knows what to do with plants. I always say this, like, it knows what to do. It's like a food. We know how to process food and we know how to process herbs. That's what's natural on this planet for us to work with. Another one, so good for vata and balance. It's female ginseng, also known as Dong Quy. Falls.
Oh, yeah. I've taken that. I've had that prescribed to me before. Yeah.
It's so great. So this one is really good for insomnia, improving energy levels, total hormone regulator because it's phytoestrogenic. And it actually tastes very similar to star anise. So if you think of like star anise, cardamom, like all of those grounding, warming herbs, this is very similar. It's in that same classification where it brings you back to yourself. So 100%. The one thing I wanted to mention about black cohosh, the second way you can use it is topically as a lotion. So as the woman that you're mentioning, she says oil all over your body. There's a black cohosh oil and cream that you use for vaginal dryness. And yeah, it'll just help bring some moisture back to that area, more comfortability. And then the third one that comes to mind is maca. So a part of fada imbalance is also a loss of sex drive. And this herb will kind of bring some of that back, promote vitality, bring up your inner fire, your playfulness, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Question for you. We've talked about Shatavari before. Is that a good one in conjunction with black cohosh, or do you even like, or black cohosh over Shatavari?
I would say both are great. Yeah.
Both. Okay. I got to get another one in the cabinet then.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just loading up, but I have to say I feel so good. I just feel good. I feel good. And I feel blessed. So ladies in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, like get some plants in the body. Like Melissa said, your body knows what to do with that. Your body is made up of the same elements that are making up these plants. So it's not a foreign thing that's coming into your body. It's supporting you from this, from really like the foundation of who you are physically. It's beautiful.
We're connecting. So powerful. We are connecting ourselves back to the earth. Like this is how we lived thousands of years ago. We would go into our little period hut with our friends, hang out there for days.
Red tent.
Yep. In the red tent, take our herbs, talk about our feelings, womanly wisdom, all that.
I love it. The red tent. Let's bring back the red tent. Enough of this. Like we should be in the red tent, just like sipping tea. And instead we're running households. We're shuffling kids around. We're, you know, trying to figure out career changes and how to pay mortgages. And, you know, women are the head of the household, no matter how it might look on the outside, like we're the leaders. And so we've got a lot on our plates. I've found herbs for many years. You know, the past 20 plus years, I've been working with natural medicines and just have found that so helpful for navigating all that a woman can hold, because we can hold a lot. Too much. We can hold too much. All right. 60s and 70s, relish and rebirth. So this is like a time in women's lives where a lot of them will turn more towards family, service, travel, very vata dominant, but also some of them are still thriving in careers and they really find themselves at their most powerful, which is really beautiful. So probably pretty repetitive of what we had talked about with vata supportive herbs, but you know, the daily oil massage is you know, in Ayurveda it is such an important one to nourish. It's going to nourish the skin, the lymphatic system, the self-love, also staying active, and then being true to, you know, the foods that support your dosha, and knowing where your balances are, where something might be elevated, and any like just over like overarching vata, or you're like yes.
I'm shaking my head because I was like, okay, when Jeff stops talking, I'm going to bring this up, and then you asked me the question. I was thinking raspberry infusion. So in the last episodes, we've talked about red raspberry leaf and how good it is for women, all ages, all cycles, all times. It is loaded with vitamin and minerals, magnesium being a big one. And almost everyone I work with, I would say, is lacking magnesium. And you can use it in one of these herbal infusions that I talked about earlier. So taking the leaf, which you can order. I have a website I love. It's called Mountain Rose Herbs. So I get shipped to me like this big bag of red raspberry leaf, and I'll take it put it in a big pot of not boiling water, but a simmering, I would say like 180 degrees maybe, water, and just leave it on simmer for an entire hour and make like a vat of it, a vat for vada. But yeah, you can take that infusion once it cools off and put it like in a huge mason jar in your fridge and sip that stuff like all week long. And when you run out, it's easy enough to make it again. But the hormone balance that it gives us is so good. It's better than any multivitamin. It's a guarantee like boost for women.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful gift to like give your mom or your grandmother, you know, to give them like a beautiful homemade like vat of red raspberry tea, you know? That's beautiful. And then 80s and beyond is the grace age. So it's continuing to assist your body with herbs, and your dosha awareness and activity as much as you can, moving the body. There's never a time not to take the plants to support these natural processes, of the body. And just to remember that aging is a blessing. So many people don't get to age, and if you're listening to this, you're aging, and so you're blessed, no matter what your age is.
We are blessed, and aging is it's a beautiful thing. I mean, to get more wise as we grow is a gift.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's switch gears to talking now more specifically about like the menstrual flow, right? So in Ayurveda, we can have a dominant vata flow. We can have a dominant kapha flow. We can have a dominant pitta flow. And what does that look like? And how do we support it? So the vata percolates through the blood vessels and into the uterus, right? And vata has cold qualities. So it creates tightening. It creates constriction, dryness. It depletes the body tissues, and it can cause like cessation of the menstrual flow. So we want to nourish it. I'll give you kind of the symptoms of what it would look like to have a vata flow that you could nourish to bring that back down and pacify it. Would be like, your discomfort would be prickly, sharp, often in the lower abdomen and back. Oh my God, I know that so much. Emotionally, anxiety, nervousness, fear. And then the actual menstruation is like dark in color, light in the flow. And then also just like overall body stiffness you can have. So if you've got those symptoms, you could have, your vata could be high. And so how could we, ideas to nourish that?
I'm smiling because this is my 100% state at this very moment, two days out. And I go completely vata imbalance. As you mentioned, my lower back is killing me. I actually use a massager that I bought before I go to bed on that area. It really helps. The Theragun. But herbally wise, I love ginger tea, and I find myself cooking with a lot of turmeric just because I want to get my flow moving. I think the PMS stage is a part of the process, but there's relief as soon as we start menstruation. And one thing for me, I do get very anxious during this time, and I feel like my mind, I was telling Jess earlier before I got on the call, it feels like my mind has like loose ends in every direction, and like the electrical wiring is like frazzled and not connected. So for that, this time of the month, I work with lion's mane. So it's interesting because I wouldn't say lion's mane is a vata balancing herb, but I would say it eases some of those vata symptoms of kind of like brain fog, feeling like airheaded and not able to like really feel grounded and centered. So lion's mane is amazing for that. And then some other things I work with grounding herbs. So as I mentioned earlier, anise, licorice, cardamom, any of those like sweet warming herbs, they all remind me of like root beer, but yeah, that kind of like savory sweet taste that they give. And then it's coming right back up. The Dong Quy is so good. It's a female ginseng. It is very grounding, during this Vata time. And the last one I will mention to bring on menses is motherwort. So that has an ability to bring on our flow, and also kind of like warm our heart space as well. I mentioned, I think in the last episode, it's this bright pink, sometimes purpley flower that's so soft and beautiful. And it's also super spiky. So it reminds me of, it reminds me of how I feel right now, to be honest. So it's a great herb for, yeah, bringing balance back for sure.
And one thing I want to mention too is castor oil packs. Love castor oil. I've started to use that. And for my friends that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, castor oil on your neck, castor oil, like just so yummy. It so in this specific situation, if we're talking about Vata menstruation, it's like it will break stagnation and the blockages that are caused by that drying out. So it will, and it will also, it can also ease constipation. So, a great way to do it is just lather it on and then put some kind of layer. I've taken like flannel pillowcases before in the past and cut them up and then put that on there and then a heating pad. And that just feels so lovely. Castor oil is really wonderful. And then of course, hydration. But in Ayurveda, it's always like hydration is not just a glass of cold water by any means. It's not even that. It's herbal teas.
Yeah,
you know, nice warming teas. You've mentioned many of them. And then, you know, our primary practices of Ayurveda, yoga, meditation, breath work, that's going to support all balances and imbalances.
And to tie into that, with a Vata imbalance, a common symptom is cramping because it's that stagnation of energy that's not flowing through the body, but staying in one spot and cramping. Oof. So ginger and turmeric tea, really great for that. Get things moving out of that pelvic area.
Oh, it's brutal. Does it ever go down, like down your legs? Like go down, like goes down my legs.
Not by legs, but you brought up that lower back thing and I do
is it
happy baby, like really 20 times a day right now. The happy baby pose.
We're doing this, recording this podcast in happy baby.
Yes.
All right. Let's go on to that hot flow, the pitta flow. So it can be hot and sharp, right? It's like, it brings the heat and fluidity. It's this like spreading nature of the blood. So it flows with ease and the heat loves to reside in the blood in excess. So, it will want to release like hard and fast. So pitta cycles tend to be heavy, and also irritation, you know, in the body, you can feel swollen, just anything heat, right? Like that, swollen breasts, like just tenderness. Oh my God. I've had that before too. Just like, can't even wear a shirt right now. So the discomfort would be burning sensations, emotions, anger, irritability. I'm sure nobody has ever experienced these. And then the menstruation itself can be hot, profuse. It can be fleshy, and like a heavier flow. I mean, it just sounds like a dumpster fire. potential imbalances, just excessive swelling in the body, hot, headaches, acne, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. Like if you've ever, I've had all of these. I've definitely experienced all of this stuff. And so what do we want to do? We want to cool that fire. Oh man, we want to just bring that thing back into containment. So whereas with Vata, we were saying castor oil packs, coconut oil pack would be a good one on the body where you're feeling that heat and swelling because coconut is very cooling. So coconut oil packs, and I would probably not put the heat on it unless the heat felt good. And I definitely wouldn't recommend like ice either. Like in Ayurveda, it's like never too hot, never too cold, because the cold's going to create, now you're going to move in the other way, right? You're going to create like this constriction and tightening. And then too hot, you're going to get too hot. So the coconut, I would just nice, just self-massage with the coconut oil pack on there. And then, you know, self-massage, especially if you're tender, just self-massage. Of course, stay away from the chips that you perhaps may want to devour. Like stay away from those things, that salty, oily, sour, those types of things will be very aggravating for it. What do you got?
I'm actually
cooling
about dandelion a lot. It is drying, which would be obviously opposite of what we want for pitta, but it's also super cooling. And if you have a flow with pitta energy, you're likely losing a lot of blood. So to replace that, our body needs a very healthy functioning liver. I think like as we're done menstruation, there's a lot of excess hormones, and what the liver does is clear all of that excess. So you will feel better during your flow, and then the days directly afterwards with this dandelion tea. It also tastes delicious. It's my favorite herb to work with as far as like really enjoying it. And it's super grounding. Like when I make it, I take the root form. I buy a blend. It's called Dandy Blend. It comes in like a big bag. I just heat up some hot water, put 2 big tablespoons of the Dandy Blend in. I like my quote unquote coffee strong. It sort of tastes like coffee. So I do 2 big heaps, and then I will top it with cinnamon, which for pitta energy, of course, is super grounding, and then a little bit of oat milk. So we have the cooling sensation of the dandelion and the oat milk, and then some of the grounding cinnamon. Plus you're just like holding the warm tea itself. So that energetically is soothing on its own. And then, some other things that come to mind, chamomile. We talked about them earlier, lavender, lemongrass, and peppermint. If you can use any of those as tea or also like topically as an oil, very beneficial. Like I will go in the shower actually, and I have like a little peppermint dropper bottle of essential oils. And before I go in, I just put it on the floor of the shower, and then the steam of the shower will like, you'll feel it like go in and through your nostrils and cooling all throughout your body.
Ooh, I love that. There was this tree down in Chile, in Patagonia. It was called Tapi or have you heard of this?
No.
It's, oh God, it was so delicious. They were like, it was like, in cocktails and stuff too, but it had this like mintiness. You could just kind of eat the leaf. Yeah. It was really amazing.
I like that.
I'll find out what it is, and I'll put a link in the show notes because I'm not speaking about it very intelligently right now, but it just made me think about that. Cause I had this, you know, we were doing this hard hike, and we broke a leaf off and just split it and like took a big sniff. And it's just amazing how that can feed you. So beautiful. All right. Kapha. So kapha hasn't gotten much play here in this podcast, but it's going to right now. So stagnation. Poor kapha. Kapha is it takes the longest to go out of balance. It takes the longest to come back into balance, because it's just slow moving. So when we're talking about the menstrual flow, it's going to be heavy, dull, sticky, passing just with, difficulty. And so the discomfort is just going to be like dull discomfort. It'll be probably a little more subtle, itching, like very itchy. Emotionally, you can feel depressed. Emotional eating, you gotta be so careful of that with a kapha imbalance, because that will just turn into body weight, you know. Emotional eating, so if you're gonna emotional eat, like do it with some blanched broccoli or something light and nourishing. Probably a heavier and longer flow because it's just kapha just takes its time. Like if you have a friend who's like, oh yeah, I'll be there in a minute. And you're like, oh my God, where are they? Probably a kapha dominant dosha is with that person. And then other potential imbalances would be, you know, water retention, bloating. So if you think about it, it's just so slow to let go. An increased sleep. So, and the thing about kapha is like a lot of times when you have that type of imbalance, you're like, oh, I'm so tired. I just need more sleep. But you're, even when you sleep longer, you actually do not feel rested. That is a sure sign that there's a kapha imbalance and sleep is not your answer. I would say, some really good activity is your answer with maybe, some yoga nidra to get that nervous system nice and soothed, but you want that kapha pacifying diet. So you want to be using spices like ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, those things that you've already mentioned, waking up early, even though that's like the last thing that kapha wants. And do not nap. No napping. Napping is like, that's that kapha energy. It's like, I need sleep. No napping. I've had some clients that I've worked with. I'm just like, as far as you're concerned, it is against the law to nap. Like, no more napping ever. Exercise every day, even if it's walking. And I'm not trying to minimize walking. I think walking is an amazing exercise, but knowing this audience, this is an active audience. So I can say even walking, castor oil packs. That'll be another thing to get things moving. Salt scrub is a good one on the body. And then probably some good vinyasa and breath of fire, things to kind of get things uplifted a little bit. I don't think that if you're working with a kapha imbalance or a heavy kapha flow that you're going to be in danger of going, you know, to the other side and having now a pitta imbalance, because it takes a while for that kapha to calm down.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a lot right now, but I think one that's really practical to work with is ashwagandha. It's tricky when working with adaptogens because a lot of people think like, okay, I have an imbalance. Like, let me take some kind of adaptogenic herb to treat that imbalance. But really, your energetics and your dosha do matter. So with kapha imbalances in particularly, ashwagandha is really good for like deep, deep nourishment. So yes, we're talking about having a like kapha imbalanced menstrual flow, but other examples would be even like after labor, someone who's like really in a deep state of fatigue and needs nourishment, the ashwagandha drink that you were drinking sounds like pretty dang perfect for someone with a kapha imbalance, and cinnamon in there too, just to kind of like fire things up. But yeah, definitely cook with a ton of spice if you have a kapha imbalance, and quick spurts of energy are very good. So if you can do, I mean, you don't want to be like killing yourself during this time, during your flow. But if you can do even like just 15-second VO2 max intervals that aren't going to bring your heart rate super high, but will like light that fire in your body to get things moving. Yeah, that's where it's at.
And let's talk a little bit about, I know we've just got a few more minutes. One thing that we wanted to address was, we had a question about, you know, somebody is going to be turning 40 and they're starting to feel like they're hitting some perimenopausal symptoms, and what should they do to prepare for menopause? But what we had talked about before we even hit record is like the work is the same for both of those phases, because really it's like the perimenopause is like your body going, it's coming. Like we're here. We're just like, this is the welcome wagon. And that those things would kind of be the same, moving into menopause, the things that we've really already talked about, for hot flashes or emotional swings. But one thing, and I wanted to see if you had any thoughts on this, maybe you've worked with someone, is the weight gain that can happen in this, like, even perimenopausal or menopause phase. You hit upon something that I also think is really helpful, is if that is you, and we're talking to a lot of endurance athletes here, like the slow and steady, you know, like the endurance engine that we need to build, that's not necessarily, if we are experiencing a lot of weight gain, almost like unexplained, air quotes, unexplained weight gain, that we want to get more hits of that high VO2. And perhaps in this situation, not talking about the flow, but in this situation where they're more sustained.
Agree.
And I wanted to see what other things that you've worked with, or have you worked with this with any of your athletes?
Yeah, I have. And just background, if you're experiencing weight gain as a symptom of perimenopause or menopause, the reason for that is because during that time, like PMS, again, estrogen and progesterone drop very low, and that causes weight gain. And it's a lack of fire in the body, kind of like that stagnation, same thing with the kapha. And I really think the two ways to go about that are diet. So one of them would be just like very anti-inflammatory diet, so that there's nothing like stuck in your body. We want everything to kind of like keep moving. So anti-inflammatory foods are really good for that. One food that actually comes to mind is flaxseed oil. It is anti-inflammatory, but it's also phytoestrogenic. So it's going to give you the anti-inflammation, but also mimic estrogen in the body to give you better energy, which means more movement, more ability to do, you know, some of those tougher VO2 track workouts, stuff like that. Yams, so sweet potatoes, are another phytoestrogenic food. And then also a lot of the herbs that I talked about earlier. So black cohosh, phytoestrogenic, maca, and also the dong quai.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to get on the bike and do some VO2.
I'm in my swimsuit.
And you're going to the, you're totally in your swimsuit. I love it. You're going to go to the pool. What do you got? What do you got on deck? What's on deck for the pool today?
I'm going into trust mode. I don't know the workout, but I'm joining these two guys, and one of them swam in high school and college, and he has these like terrible workouts. So, I don't know that I have the energy to maybe do the whole thing today. And I was transparent about that. I said, I might need to do some recovery stuff and just enjoy your guys' company, but I'll be there regardless.
All right. Well, we'll see. Okay. I'm going to go get a workout from Coach, but I think I need to, transitioning from all the travel that I did and stuff, I've been taking it really slow, and I think it's time to get the pilot light lit and fall back into the life that I've created. And, you know, and, yeah, so I'm going to go light that fire a little bit, but thank you so much. Like, unbelievable, unbelievable information that you have so freely shared with everyone. So ladies, men, like, everybody, let us know any questions that are lingering, and please share with your mothers and your sisters and your spouses, because it's not just, this isn't just for women, it's for everyone to help understand like what we are navigating, you know, and I hope somebody's doing this somewhere for, you know, for men and all of their experiences that they go through. But women are a unique breed, and we've got some pretty unique cycles and things that go on in within our phases of life. So Melissa, thank you so much. It's been such a great, it's been fun and challenging in a good way. It's not challenging to work with you, but challenging like for, I know for like the two of us to come on here and just hope we're doing it right.
Yeah, the letting go, the letting go of the control. I had so many notes in front of me and I touched like 2% of them. But I just want to also add, we're talking about all this amazing stuff, and Jess and I, we only have an hour here to serve the whole population. And we have to stay kind of generic so that everyone gets like good quality info. But if you really feel called to do like a deep dive and want to understand how we can help you better, like, please reach out. Like, I do my herbal consultations. They're 90 minutes long. Like, I really am hearing everything that's going on with you. And I'm able to recommend herbally lifestyle stuff and also the herbal supplementation to address what's going on from every direction. So, yes.
Yes, I love it. Yes, reach out to Melissa. She's amazing. You can get her through yogitriathlete.com. We can work together as a team. But there's resources for you. And Melissa, you've been such a gift to Team Yogi Triathlete. Every Friday, her and Coach Beach are on the Facebook group, and Melissa is just sharing all this information so freely. Some of the athletes have, you know, decided to dive in and are working with her one-on-one. So that is available to everyone. You don't have to be on the team, although we'd love to have you on the team. So, all right. Have a great swim, whatever it looks like.
Have a great spicy bike.
I will. All right. Take care. Thank you so much.
Bye, Jess.
Bye.